Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for joining us tonight and listening into the show. And how's Robin doing tonight?
I'm up and at it still, so yeah, just sitting here in the office catching up on a few things earlier today and this evening and this morning, and it seems like all I got to do right now is work.
Yeah, it's still all the same craziness as the last show that's been going on, huh?
Yeah, there's not like it's going to change anytime soon either. I think we're probably stuck with this through May anyway, but hopefully not, but I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. It's been pretty crazy, but yeah, like you said, it's probably not going to be ending anytime soon. So we're just going to have to keep dealing with it for a while and make the most of it while we can, and all that, I'm going to bring something up and see if you've gotten this too. But I've kind of had people sending me messages lately. And they've been talking about, like, the first question is, have I noticed more activity here since all this stuff that's been going on? And then they start telling me, you know, all this activity they're getting. And the first question that I pop up with, you know, it's like, I'm not trying to sound, I'm not trying to sound bad in any way. But it's like, the first thing I'm asking is like, well, you are home more often, you know, so maybe you're just noticing more activity because you're home more often versus... it's not the everyday lifestyle that you've had before. You go to work, you come back, you know, you fix dinner and different things like that. But I mean, have you been getting messages like that since you have Ashmore in the theater and stuff?
Yeah, nope, I haven't got any message from anybody, but I kind of agree completely with you, though. I think they're just kind of home, they're restless, they're sitting around, not doing anything, and they're just more open to it now because they are there. It's just kind of like, we tell people when they do investigations, you don't have to do it late night and stuff like that. It's there all the time. They're just not paying attention to it during the day, most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's, that's the first thought that I have. It's, I haven't noticed any different, whether it's that, it's like we notice, it's the activities, like sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's active, and then you get this combination. One day it's active, and then that night it's not active, or vice versa, or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I'm thinking is just, we're used to it. We're at these locations a lot more often. So, and then people, if their places have got activity or something, they're probably just not realizing it now, or they're spending more time at home than they're just, I'm seeing more activity. Well, you might not be seeing any more activity, or it could be more active. You just, you're obviously witnessing more, though. I mean, since you're home more often, you have more opportunity to actually have more things, that you witnessed happen.
Yeah, I think sometimes they're probably just sitting around home bored, and something happens, and, there's a lot of people that just everything's paranormal. So when they hear that creak and crack that they normally wouldn't hear during the day, because they're not there, they kind of wonder what it is.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe, maybe the intelligent hauntings that's going on, maybe there's awareness of some of the stuff. Maybe, who knows? Who knows? I don't know. But, you've mentioned how you've been busy and all that stuff, so you got a lot going on, so you've been staying fairly busy, so it's always nice to get to talk to you when we do the show, at least. I know we talk off and on, like in between, but it seems like this is the most we've talked here lately is when we do the show.
Yeah, when, one thing I think is going to happen this year, I think everybody's going to see it too, is that I think there's going to be a lot of events that are going to cancel, and just because a couple reasons, I think, is that first off, a lot of people aren't going to want to show up to it, just because they're a little concerned anyway, and including like celebrity guests and things like that. And then secondly, I think that a lot of them will probably cancel just because the sheer numbers are going to be down because people are out of jobs, out of work. Not, you know, the income's not there, and they're not going to have that $300 or $400 to spend on a weekend to do an event. So I think that you're going to see a lot of drops in events this year.
Yeah, I definitely think that everyone's going to feel an impact from things for sure. Yeah, it's just one of those kind of a waiting game now. It's like the ones that I know were scheduled at the same some of the same events and stuff, and we're just kind of at the point where we're just kind of waiting around now to see, you know, if there's that moment in time where they decide to just say, hey, we're not gonna put this on, and we're gonna postpone it and do it later on, or if it's gonna be one of those things of it'll just be next year at the same time.
Yeah, it's just going to have to wait and see what they decide to do with it, but it wouldn't surprise me that you see a lot of events that are canceling.
Yeah, and I what you were saying with things, I mean, it's, you know, when this is over and they do lift things and they let people get out and about and stuff, I mean, people are still going to be really cautious and leery, you know, especially like us. I mean, we have underlying issues that makes things harder for us if we get this, so we're more cautious. So once they lift it, you know, you and I, we're going to be running the storm. Watching over our shoulder the whole time because we're going to be thinking, you know, what if?
Right. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, it's not going to be, I think everybody's going to be kind of standing away from everybody, a little bit leery of it because, you know, let's face it, they don't have a vaccine for it right now. So there's nothing they can really do other than just hope that you get through it. And, but there's still a small number of people that are getting it in comparison to the whole United States, but it doesn't take much. If you get it, it could be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I agree. Definitely. Well, let's go ahead and get our guests on here. We have not one, but two. We have a couple guys from Riverbend Paranormal coming in. We have Dean and we have Tim. We'll talk to these guys and see what they're up to and talk to them a little bit about the paranormal stuff and all that good stuff. So welcome in, guys. Are you there?
Yeah,
Hello.
Think I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep. We can hear you.
How about me, Mike? Can you hear me?
Guys? Yep. Yeah, we can. I can hear you. I'm Robin, are you good?
Yeah, I can hear both.
Good deal. Yeah, we're good, guys. So, how's it going? Sorry, I don't know why
unfortunately,
I think you're
calling
in there.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say? Everybody's sitting at home right now, just kind of waiting everything out, just hoping everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, we've been quarantined with five kids, so, you know, we're hanging in there.
Well, you got a little break for
He's hanging in
the
there, I'm
hour,
going fishing.
Least, right?
Yeah, I got it out. I got an hour. Dean's been fishing. I've been pulling my hair out.
Yeah, I stopped sending him pictures of fish because it just depressed him too much.
It's not very nice when you know where I'm stuck.
This thing sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah, he's got the... It could be much worse, couldn't it? You know, you touched on something about the people. You touched about the people. I have heard more people, like you said. I had somebody the other day contact me. His house has always had activity, but he said, oh, man, it's going nuts. No, you're at home with nobody else there now. You're noticing it a lot more. So I think I know where my first investigation will be when this ends.
That's the same thing with our house. We have activity in our house, and we're just noticing it more because we're home more. So I wouldn't say it's any more active than normal. I just think we're just paying more attention to it because there's less to do.
Yeah, and you're home a lot more. That's what I've been telling the ones that's contacting me and that, you know, I've talked to. That's what I've been telling them. I'm like, you got to look at the fact, you know, you've been home a lot more, so you're going to notice things a lot more than, you know, think of all the things that they're missing when they're gone. Things are happening, and then when, you know, now that they're home, now they're just witnessing more things that's going on because they're there more. So,
and our kids are noticing more stuff. They're like, "Hey, we heard somebody running through the house." Well, yeah, but you're usually not here to pay attention to it. So, welcome home during the day.
So why don't we start off, like, why don't each of you guys, like, just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Senior, you want to go first?
Sure, why not? Name's Dean Thompson. I've been doing this for over 20 years. joined Riverbend about a year ago because I couldn't resist Brian Murray's charms anymore. Actually, one of the greatest group of people I've ever been around. Yeah, really. honestly, great group of people. We have a lot of fun, and I think we're doing some interesting things right now. Well, we started to, and then this hit. We were starting to get off our feet. One of our team members, Josh, had come up with a new system that we were using that was kind of a numerical system using the EDIs, and we were cross-referencing that with EVPs and cameras and anomalies, and it was all being assigned a number so we could try and see if we could get things to actually correlate in a scientific manner. And it was really neat system. He showed it to me, and it's like, wow, this is going to be neat. And then we stopped investigating. So every time it seems like I've gotten excited this year, something's happened to kind of put it in the back seat.
Yeah, my name's Tim Maloney. I've been investigating for about 17 years. I've been with Riverbend for almost 3 years now. Like Dean said, it's a great group of people. We're really close. And it's Brian Murray's charm. No, actually, Jen said she'd kill me if I didn't join the team. So, yeah. So I joined a team with my better half that threatened me. So we're trying to do new things, and then COVID hit. But we're trying to figure out new ways to do things, new ways to investigate, new ways to get the team involved. More so than just a single person, just a whole team in general, learning everything and knowing how to do everything instead of just one person looking at something. So, yeah, I've been doing it a long time, and this is one of the best groups I've ever worked with. It is probably the best group I've worked with. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. This is a question I always ask everybody because I'm just curious because, you know, I have my own personal experience and stuff that got me into it. But what got both of you guys into the paranormal to begin with?
Well, my dad passed when I was 15 and I was probably 16. Yeah, I was probably 16. About almost a year after he passed. And I was sitting on the couch at my mom's house and I looked out the back window on the deck and I saw my dad just walking across the deck. And I was like, no, this doesn't make sense. And I started like watching, and he passed through, walked behind the fireplace where it's no windows, and then hit the other window and went down the stairs. And I heard the gate clink that's on the deck. And I ran outside. I was like, I'm losing my mind. And for a while I kept it in. I finally told my mom and she's like, oh, that's fine. She goes, I see him in the closet, walking from the closet to the bathroom all the time. And at that point, I was like, okay, I really have to start looking into this stuff because this just creeped me out. And now I think it's a playground.
How warped are we?
You said your mom said she's seen him in the bathroom?
Walking from the bathroom to their walk-in closet.
That has to be interesting at times, thinking that your dad's in the bathroom, you know,
Yeah, it was more so the first couple of years. She really just said she would lay there in bed and just not move. It kind of freaked her out. And then eventually, I guess it just kind of, she hasn't mentioned it since. I don't know if she hasn't said anything to me because she doesn't want me to investigate the house and set cameras up, or if it just stopped, if it was just a residual of stuff that he did all the time.
Maybe she's just gotten more comfortable.
And my mom's the biggest skeptic of it all.
When I got into it, what got me interested at first, I was about 18, 19 years old. And I'll give you the very short version of this. I was at a friend's house, old house in Wood River. We had went out shooting, and we were downstairs cleaning the guns, waiting for his sister to come home. And three different times we heard footsteps going across their hardwood floor, and by the third time, we kept thinking it was his sister. Third time we went and cleared the house completely, never found a soul, nobody around. So we kind of said, okay, that was weird. His mother was making fried chicken that night, and anybody that knows me knows, A, I like to eat, and she made the world's greatest fried chicken. So we were sitting there in the living room after we ate, and we hear the back door open and slam shut, and my friend Jim goes running into the kitchen, so there's nobody there. And his mom, I don't even think she looked up from the book she was reading. She goes, you know, I've told you for years this house is haunted. They don't bother me, so I don't bother them. That was my first experience. It's like, okay, there's something else out there. And that's when I started kind of looking around.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear other people's stories on kind of what got them into the field, you know, to begin with. I mean, it's even in my case, I was really big skeptic. I was kind of one of those, like, you show me something, you know, to make me believe this or whatever. And then, you know, then you have that experience and you're just like, okay. So it's interesting to just be able to sit down and talk to people and just learn different things, you know, that they've experienced that kind of got them into the field as well.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that everybody's story is different and everybody has their own experience, which makes it fun. Like just learning other people's stories and where they came from in the paranormal field and what got them into it and how they, you know, look at it. Because everybody has a different outlook on the paranormal.
Yeah, I agree.
So what was like one of the major places that you guys, your first investigation, you went out to, you know, one of the larger places and all? Like, what was the first place you guys went to?
Mine was Oakville.
Place? Oakville?
Yeah, mine was when I was with POSI.
Okay. Mine was Nim's Mansion down in South St. Louis County. It's in a park down there. Legend has it the kid from The Exorcist lived there with his aunt and uncle. They owned all that property. It was a farm at one point. And then they had donated it to the park system when everybody died.
That's called Nim's Mansion?
Nim's Mansion, yeah. It's owned by the Park Services. They used to do more events there, but I don't know if they let anybody in the building anymore.
I'm not sure that I've heard of that place.
It's a really cool location. It's very old. It's cool. It's creepy. Just looking at it, you're like, oh, that's creepy. Like, I want to go in the basement now. That sounds fun.
Yeah, I've been to Oakville before.
Yeah, Robin, where haven't you been?
Years ago. Yeah. Investigation, Robin.
Oh, wow.
The pyramids of Egypt? I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I don't even remember where it was. It might have been... it was probably a private residence that I remember in there that I went to, but the commercial ones might have been Forest Mill.
I haven't been to Morris Mill in a really long time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's changed out there quite a bit. Dawn's done a lot of stuff out there, and I think that they're still doing some stuff, but I'm not sure how much.
Yeah, she was talking to Brian about getting us out there. And I was like, okay. I was like, let us know. You know, we're game for anything.
Well, and like most places, you never hear from them again after that. So, but
so you guys,
now
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay. No, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say this is the bad thing. We're sitting here talking about these locations, and I'm just thinking how much I miss them.
Yeah. I think everybody's having a tough time wishing that they could get out and investigate more. And, like, you know, you don't think about it when you get all these locations lined up. And then when something like this happens and you're stuck at home and you you get all that time to think, you're like thinking, you know, about it, you know, like, it's when are we going to be able to get back out and investigate?
And, yeah. I'm about to set up the gear in my house just to get the itch out of the way.
Luckily, Robin and I are in
this.
What?
You guys have some places lined up to go this year?
Yeah, we had almost our whole year scheduled out, and we canceled up until June. I think we're canceled out because of all this.
We've got that one the last weekend in May, but I'm sure we're about to cancel that. And it's not just us canceling. A lot of these places are flat out saying we don't want you there, which I completely understand. So. You know, the big one though is as long as we're good by August when I go down to Rhodes, that's what I'm worried about. Because, you know, I've got to go to the Rhodes Hotel. If I don't go there every year, I have withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully
you just
want to
see Mike's smiling face.
Honestly,
I think we have Malvern.
I do love
we're hoping Malvern works out too. We have Malvern in, I think, June.
Right, and you know like I said, I'm going to go to Rhodes. We've got a trip. We're going to try and schedule a trip to Ashmore again. I got a hold of Lauren up in Jacksonville, and he scheduled us at the Jacksonville Funeral Home, and then the governor. What was his last name, Tim?
Governor Fletcher House.
The Governor Fletcher House. He scheduled us in those two. And like I said, everything's on a holding pattern right now. So
yeah, we're just kind of playing it by ear and just trying to keep our group going.
And that's the bad thing right now. I mean, the core group will always be there.
Yeah, it makes it harder. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of people still, like, we still get people that are contacting us asking about coming in and stuff. And it's, you know, some aren't thinking about the fact that it's not that we don't want you here. It's the fact that, one, we're thinking of, you know, safety first. But then on top of the safety, you know, we can't let anybody in because, you know, I mean, it's right now, I mean, you know, they're telling people not to do this. And we're, you know, we don't want to get in trouble and, you know, them, you know, have anybody come in to try to shut us down, you know, because we're doing this stuff against the stay at home order. But, you know, I mean, we're thinking safety, you know, as well. I mean, you know, we don't want to take the chances of people getting sick and stuff, you know. I mean, it's better just to kind of wait it out and make sure everything is back to normal and then get back in the swing of things and then hopefully not have to worry about it any further down the road.
The good thing is I've gone through about 700 hours of evidence review, so you know, I got time to do that.
Yeah, I completely cleaned up my equipment and reorganized it. And yeah,
I haven't
Jim.
Done that. I'm dreading that. I got to roll up all the camera wire, and it is a mess. I just stare at it like, well, I'll get to it someday.
The day might be soon if you're going to be stuck in too much longer, huh?
I think I'm out of stuff to do around the house. I already cleaned up the backyard, the house, the basement, built stuff, fixed stuff. I'm like, well, now the basement's the last thing I got to do. So that's where all the gear is. So I'll be down there for a couple days.
I'll think about you as I socially distance myself on the front of a bass boat.
I hope you fall.
Thanks.
you can
come
investigate me. Come rescue. You know, if
that's
you
a bad
nobody's
thing.
Nobody's going to come rescue him because he'd be social distancing. He can't get close.
Right.
Yeah.
Dean, you're pretty – I believe you're pretty buoyant, Dean.
I can swim, just, you know. Hopefully I don't have to swim too far.
I sink like a hammer, so.
That will see. Yeah, I do have a little buoyancy to me.
So going back – So going back to the location thing, talking more about locations and everything, do you guys have a certain location that you've always wanted to go investigate that you haven't gotten the chance to yet?
You know, as long as I've been doing this, I've never been to Waverly, and everybody wants to do Alcatraz. So those are my top two. I've never done Waverly. Every chance I've had to do it, something's come up, and I've gotten gypped out of going. So eventually I'll make the time or the effort.
Oh, boy. There's so many, mostly the things I see on the East Coast, you know, the penitentiaries out there, and I can't remember the name of it. Pennhurst Asylum was another one that I'd love to see. The things that are too far to drive more than anything, and those come to mind first, is Eastern State and Pennhurst come to mind first and foremost.
Yeah, the two of the main ones on my list, just to throw it out there, is probably Eastern State and Alcatraz.
Yeah, I've never done a big penitentiary. I've never been able, you know, of course, I've spent a lot of time there behind bars, but, you know, I've never actually got to investigate. So.
Yeah, That's why Dean says he works for the state.
Yeah, I work for the state.
I think we're all excited for this. Go ahead, Dean.
I was just going to say, I've just never done one of the bigger penitentiaries, and that's something I've always wanted to do.
I think we're all just ready for this to break and give us a chance to get back as teams and as a paranormal, you know, family in general, just everyone. You know, I know I got...
Definitely.
You know, people are realizing more in their houses, so I'm getting private messages saying, hey, I need you to come to my house. Hey, there's COVID, and I don't know if you've been to China lately, so no thank you. You know, I got a list of about 15 people that want me to go to their house that are having problems, and I'm like, we can't right now. I mean, it's just not safe. And that was
it sounds like
we
you
had
guys
big
are pretty
event
busy.
With, yeah, we're gonna be slammed, and you know, we had the Ghost Hunters event we were supposed to do at Mineral Springs, and we had to cancel that because of COVID, so that got rescheduled. That's gonna be a madhouse.
Well, and I know Tim is a lot like me. We both originally got into this. One of the big things we want to do always is try and help people. And as far as helping people, it doesn't mean that they have a paranormal problem. If you can explain it in a real-world way as opposed to the paranormal, it works out just as well. But to help the people in their house is one of the big things. I want them to live in their space better than they are now when they call us. And having said that, I've discovered everything from raccoons to mice to – you know, a house that's settling really badly along with the paranormal. So that's something I always try and keep in mind when I go into these is it's not necessarily a ghost in your house, but let's see if we can help you either way.
Yeah, I've gone to locations where people are just miserable with the other people they live with. And it's just making them think, you know, all this stuff. And you're like, no, I think it's just you don't like these other people and you're just making stuff imagination to get out of the house or you're just hearing things you think you hear. But it's
and
all,
definitely,
you just got to make it more comfortable.
I mean, you
so
partially play psychologist when you do this.
Yeah, so when doing the residential investigations and stuff, do you guys mainly focus just like more or less in that area? Do you stay in Illinois or... You venture out. I mean, you know, I guess I'm asking you, do you have a certain area that you stick to? And it's like once you get so far out, you're just like, no, we'll get someone else to handle it.
I mean, if it's too far, I mean, we reach out to other teams if need be, but we have members that are in like, I'm from St. Louis, so we'll go out to St. Louis. We have members in, you know, all over St. Louis too, so they can reach out there. We'll go pretty far. I've gone all the way to Tennessee before to help a family. But that was years ago. But I think if it gets too far, we'll generally reach out to another group we know of that has that reach that can go out and help them, that we trust. Mm-hmm. That'll go in to be honest with the people and not – because there's some teams – I've seen it. Some teams will try to charge people to come to their residential to help them. And I'm like, that's just not right. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to make money on these people. We're here to help these people.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely. And a lot of it comes down to who we can get, where we can get them. I mean, I had somebody that contacted me the other day and asked me about West Virginia. And one of the things I said to him is, unfortunately, all of us have jobs, and, you know, we have to really coordinate to make a longer trip. And, for instance, I work every Saturday at my job. I have to actually take off work if we're going to do a trip. And I know there are others that, you know, have to find – children, you know, some people have the Brady Bunch living at their house, so they have to find child care. So if they're going to leave town, Tim.
I felt like that was a shot.
just a little one. But no, people have children or dogs or what have you, and we have to actually make arrangements to do travel. So we try and keep it, you know, within a reasonable driving distance. And like Tim said, one of the big things that we try and do is we know several people on different teams in different areas that can go out and actually help the people.
Yeah, and it's probably makes it tough, you know, when you have people calling because they want that help now. And then, you know, you have to juggle around trying to help them, you know, in a reasonable time frame, but it's hard to, yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
I always say it's hard when exactly. I always say it's hard when real life gets in the way of your fun. So just we try and do it as quickly as humanly possible with any clients we should have. We always do a little bit of screening, and then we try and get with them as soon as we can. But sometimes, you know, they want us there tomorrow, and sorry, we can't find three people this weekend that don't have something going on already. So,
and you have to have a process.
People understand.
It's for safety of them and us. I mean, we've had some people. Let me tell you guys some stuff. We've had some people call, and we do a screening process. Basically, we have a phone interview and get some information and everything, and then we'll go just for an initial in-person interview. And I tell you, some of these people, you find some characters. I'm telling
definitely.
You, you're not seeing ghosts. You're seeing a dragon in front of the refrigerator because you're on methamphetamines, ma'am.
Well, I won't go quite that far, but I know when I first started this, I did have somebody from about 2 hours south contact me, and basically through about four phone calls, she changed her story every single time. And it just got to the point where I said, ma'am, did all of this really happen, or is this really going on? And she finally admitted she just wanted to come down so she could see all the equipment that we use. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, and you're talking two to two and a half hour drive down there, setting up the equipment, all that stuff. So you do have to screen somewhat. And like I said, I've found everything from I've found a lot of rodents in houses, I'll put it that way. And it has explained a lot of things. And I found seven raccoons in a crawl space one night or one afternoon. And I said, ma'am, here's your scratching and your talking. And she said, oh, there's not that many raccoons. I got her up there, shined the line in there. And she said, oh, my God, I'm calling an exterminator. That was the end of that investigation. But, yeah, I mean, you have to keep everything in mind when you do this. Because, like Tim said, it could be their own psychosis. It could be, you know, the claim with that woman with the raccoons was she heard talking, but she couldn't understand it. Well, if you've ever heard a raccoon chatter, you know, they do sound a bit like talking. They heard footsteps. They heard walking. They heard movement. And it was all because they had them in this crawl space that was around their bedrooms, basically. I never even dreamt when I opened that crawl space to look in there what I was going to find, but that just happened to be something weird that I found one time. And keep everything in mind. Keep an open mind when you're doing this. Now, every now and then you get into a house and you walk out and you go, oh, my God, there's something really there, and they are not happy. But most of the time if it is paranormal, you can help the people live with what is paranormal in their house and teach them ways to deal with it. A lot of time these entities just want to be noticed. I mean, I always say picture them. They're walking around this house watching this new family who just ripped up that beautiful shag carpet they had all throughout the 70s. They painted all their walls. They did this. They did that. You're in my house doing this stuff, and you can't even hear me yelling at you about it. So, you know, that's kind of look at it from the ghost point of view. They're just a lot of times wanting to communicate. I have not found a demon yet. I found some people that were, you know, a little bit, you know, unsavory, shall we say, to deal with, but you know, I guess if I was dead and somebody was tearing up my house, I wouldn't be the happiest person either. So all that stuff, it's making people live comfortably in their space and finding actual answers for them. I mean, very rarely do I walk out of a house and say, well, I have no idea what's going on there. See ya. I mean, there's places we've been to 3 and 4 and 5 times trying to help these people. And then there's places after one night, you know, you're done. So bottom line, like I said, is to help.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, when you have – what's that?
I said except at the R Theater. There, I just let the people live with it. They're on their own.
We're good with that.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes, you know, you realize that you do these investigations and it's – like a lot of people will talk about the shows and stuff that's on there and like, oh, well, they didn't get that much on this episode or something. It's like, but you know, you figure the time that you're in the locations and you're investigating, you're trying to figure stuff out for these people that you're helping. it might just not be a lot going on at that time. I mean, and you've got the limited time that you're in there, you know, it's like I said, when people don't talk, oh, well, they didn't find that much on this episode and stuff. It's like, well, because they probably, you know, the time, you know, their schedule, they're there for like one night or two nights. You know, they can't stay there for that long, you know, long enough time maybe to get the evidence that they really need sometimes. So, yeah, I can see going back to locations more than once to try to keep helping the people to figure out exactly what's going on.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
you know. And I don't. We've learned a lot about those episode situations, you know, with Brian and Rochelle and stuff.
True.
And what they do. Like, we've learned how much time they spend there and how much work it is. Like, sometimes you don't get anything. But that's days. I mean, that's week at a location. Sometimes you just don't get anything. And people understand. I've been in buildings for 10 hours and haven't heard a peep. I'm just sitting in the dark like an idiot.
Exactly. Doesn't mean they're not haunted. It just means that particular time we didn't catch anything. You know, I was joking about the Art of Theater. I've been there. I've investigated it three times now. First time was great. Second time we got absolutely zero. Third time was great. So is the building haunted? Yeah. Second time, it just didn't happen for us that night. That's just the way it goes sometimes.
I'm curious, the second time you guys were here, did we do a walk through the building?
No, we did not that night, and that's one thing you talked about. That was the night I was there with Dale Kaczmarek, and I talked Dale into staying, or he talked me into staying. I can't remember which it was, and we just didn't get anything. The other two times I was there, I got great activity. I mean, the last time Riverbend was there, we had a real good time.
Did we do a walkthrough the first and third time?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
I think it's just you, Robin. They just like you.
No, actually, it's the walkthrough, because I've told Brian this before. He came in one night, and you guys weren't either one here, but Brian came in one night and sat down with me, and I'm sitting in my office, and he's like, man, we're not getting anything. And I said, well, you told me when you came here that you knew everything about the place and you didn't do anything. And I said, so we didn't do the walkthrough. He said, well, what difference does that make? I said, because I always tell the spirits in the building that we're donating this money to help a charity with Lost Lives Foundation and to make sure that you show everybody a good time. And he said, well, okay, let's do it. And so we did, and stuff started picking up. In fact, we caught one of the coolest EVPs while we were sitting in the theater room that night when one of the guys was going to sit down in a chair, and he decided not to sit there, and you hear five no's distinctively telling him not to sit there. And I asked him, I said, why don't you sit in that chair? He said, because I decided to sit in this one. And he was standing up there looking at the chair while I was talking, and you hear five no's while you stand there looking at the chair and you sat next to it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. I've got to hunt a lot of really, really neat places. And, you know, for people that are new to this, and especially in the Illinois area where we live, we're from Alton, you know, Robin's up in Auburn, which is right by Springfield. I mean, there are so many good places to go that you can get just great evidence. And, you know, I've probably told you, Mike, this 10 times. I wish Atlanta, Indiana was a lot closer than it is. I mean, you know, the thriving metropolis of it, the thriving metropolis of Atlanta, Indiana. Somebody once asked me where that was. I said, you point to the middle of Indiana where nothing else is, and you hit it right on the head. But yeah, I'm just, like I said, I've been fortunate enough to hunt a lot of these great places, and I'm not trying to kiss up to Robin, but Ashmore is another one of my favorites. I've gotten so much good stuff out of there, and more on the day than I ever will at night. The daytime hunts
Ashmore
there are fantastic.
Ashmore always treats me well.
Even when you're napping.
Yeah, I love Ashmore.
Hey,
I don't nap. That's Jen. That's Jen.
No,
Jen
that's
falls
me.
Asleep with the cats.
No, he's referring to me because I got a great EVP of a woman telling me to wake up when I was snoring in a room. So, yeah.
I don't. And you and Jen fell asleep in, when we were cleaning bricks and moving furniture to help Robin out. And I don't get how you sleep. And she was out cold.
Oh, yeah. It's a peaceful place. I mean, you know, very haunted, but peaceful.
Yeah. I love it.
You know,
do you ever get,
when Robin was, what's that?
I was just going to ask you, Mike, if you ever get woke up at home.
I do. I've had times that most of the time that I have, it's when I hear, like, it sounds like somebody walking around. I have that, but I mean, you know, at times I've heard voices and stuff, but yeah, the main thing that has actually had me wake up in the middle of the night is mostly like something like that. Or I've had a, like maybe a time or two that it sounded like somebody dropped something or somebody was moving something that would wake me up. It's interesting. And you know, like what Robin was saying a minute ago, like about the theater and stuff, the walkthroughs and everything, this is something else to kind of think about with things. Because like, and even Robin, you being there at the locations, you probably notice like you have nights that when you stay with the groups and stuff more, that they get more activity. Because I've had people, you know, even here that'll ask me to go out with them there. But like when I was doing the investigations at Waverly Hills, you know, that's been years ago, but when I would do them there, I had a group that came in, and like it was a group of police officers, and they had their own paranormal group. They investigated most of the night, and they were like, "We didn't get anything." And they're like, "Will you come back in with us for the last little bit?" And I went back in, and I don't know, it's just that, you know, that familiar face, but they said the whole vibe has changed. And the next time they came back, when they booked another investigation, they're like, "We want you in there the whole time with us."
They do get to know you, and that's always been a big thing. Mineral Springs is one of the funny ones. When I used to do – I was doing an interactive tours there for a Halloween season. And by the end of the tour, I could go into a room using the – I was using the spirit box, and I sat there, and I had everybody in the room go around and introduce them, and then I would say, "Okay, can you say my name?" And I'd have at least one to two voices say my name. And everybody looked up just so amazed. I'm thinking, I've been here. This is like the 30th night I've been here this year. They know me. But, yeah, familiarity does help. I mean, Cheney Mansion, I mean, every time I'd go out with Carol and just she and I would go, it was a much different vibe than when I'd go with other people. Because she was there all the time. She cleaned the place, everything. I mean, you know, it's just that familiarity. So,
have you noticed that at Ashmore or the theater, Robin?
Not at the theater. I mean, I'm pretty much, you know, the only time we've noticed anything at the theater, like I said, when we did the walkthroughs like that, that's when we've seen more, you know, when we've had, you know, situations. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I've given permission to talk to people, and that's happened. But at Ashmore, honestly, I've not really investigated Ashmore. The first time I did was like in September of 2012, and I haven't really done anything since there, as far as I'm concerned. I've gone out with a few groups a couple times there, but I've never spent a lot of time at night, because usually I'm in there working from about 6 in the morning until 6 or 7 at night, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't feel like sitting around then. But yeah, I never really investigated too much.
That's the bad thing. It's kind of like somebody that owns a pond, a fishing pond. Do you ever fish a pond? No, I'm too busy mowing the grass around it. Yeah, okay.
I do know that they know I'm out there. I know that, like, well, last year, I think it was last year, Dookie from Tennessee Ray Chasers, he came downstairs and he walked in the door. And he's like he looked at me like he was looking at a ghost. I'm like, "What's up?" And he's like, "I was up on the third floor a while ago talking and asking in my SB7 and said, 'Do you know who owns this building?' And it came across and said, 'Robin.' And he said, 'Where is he right now? I haven't seen him.' He's like, 'Downstairs.' And he said, 'I came down here and sure enough, there you are.' So I think they know you're there, but I just don't think they pay attention to you."
It's a comfort thing. I mean, when you have guests in the house, you act differently than you do with your family. And you've become family up there. You're kind of their protector and, you know, preserving the building for them, the whole nine yards. And I think the more intelligent spirits will notice that kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree. Our house was built in 1904. There's three houses in a row. They're all built by the same family, like brothers and sisters and stuff. And we were telling a friend of ours that, you know, you'll hear some stuff, like, don't flip out. And they're like, no, you know, they're really big skeptics. They're from Texas. She's not scared of anything. And, well, we were sitting there on the couch one day, and we heard somebody walking through our bedroom upstairs and come down the stairs. Her eyes got about as big as softball. She's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "Oh, they're just hanging out. Don't worry about them. They're here." She's like, "Oh, I haven't really heard it before when you guys were gone." I'm like, "Well, we hear a lot more when we're here, I guess, because they're comfortable." You know, so that makes sense.
It's just, you know, they're people, okay? They're just like anybody else. And I know there was a house that we investigated in Alton many, many times. And the girl that owned it didn't have a lot of money, and she needed some repairs done. And my friend Clint is a carpenter. Well, he and I went over there, and we installed a ceiling fan, and we changed a few doors, and we did several things around there. And the entire time we're going through the house, he's an investigator too. We're both talking to the entities. Hey, we got to come up here. We got to get this door. This door is falling off. We got to repair it. What have you? After that, there was a guy upstairs that called me several foul names. Imagine that. After that, the vibe completely changed in the house. It went from people kind of being, you know, a little confrontational to accepting us because they saw us, in my opinion, they saw us helping the house. So I truly believe that, always have. Good attitude beats a bad attitude every time.
Have you guys been using any specific equipment at the investigation you've done that may be a little bit different than others have tried to use?
Well, we started using the EDI and using the program that one of our investigators, he writes code for the military, so he's really good with computers. So he wrote a program to kind of link it all up in a program, like, you know, with everything. So we've been using EDI in a kind of different way, using a program that nobody else is using. So we're using that. And we try all kinds of different stuff. We try just to walk in and just kind of hang out. We've learned, I've seen, that if we're just, like, walking around, just kind of doing our thing, having conversation amongst ourselves and stuff, I'm seeing that generally has a good response, like they want to join in and give their two cents. But I think we have a very interesting group of people. I mean, we have everything from teachers to military people to construction workers. I mean, we have – it's all around the place. I mean, so I think it's a different vibe from a group standpoint just about who gets interacted with and how they go about investigating. So we kind of let everybody do their own way. It's not a set way. Like, whatever works for you, what you think works or you're getting – responses or anything off of, like, do it. Like, that works. If something's coming to you to talk, like, do what you're doing. Like, they're comfortable with that situation, you know. But the EDI is a new one we're starting with, and, you know, we always use the FLIR and our flashlights and our recorders, and then we have a camera system we use that's motion activated.
And ever since Unity this year, when I met KD from Supernatural Inc., he sold me one of the nanocoms, which is, you know, it's a spirit box, but it scans in a random fashion. And I've got to use that a couple of times, and I've got some great results with that, so much so, you know, his newest thing is called an ink box, which he says he's using the same Frank's box circuitry in it. And you can run it on shortwave, which is something I've never tried.
What?
So the big thing with me is I love the ITC, and in doing that, it's just something, it's a different way of listening. One thing I've learned with, like, the SB7s and such is you start, after you listen to it for a while, you start hearing, as opposed to listening for voices, you're hearing the cadence of the box. So, you know, it's scanning in that linear fashion, and you're hearing, you know, okay, we're hearing this. Okay, I know there's going to be a woman's voice here. Okay, that's KMOX. Okay, there's going to be a deep voice there, music here. And you end up listening to the cadence as opposed to listening for the answers and the voices. Using his, where it scans in a random fashion, it doesn't go in that linear, I've found that I end up listening a lot closer to what I should be listening to. The whole point of those things is to communicate and to get instant communication. And the first time I used his nanocom was at the Unitarian Church in Alton. And we were on a public investigation because I can't resist going there anytime I can get in the doors. And Clint and I were there that particular night. And the first night we're using the nanocom, I sat it up there and I asked the Reverend Mercer a few questions. And we're sitting there and all of a sudden we hear God, the exact quote was, God must see the past. Clear as a bell comes through there. It wasn't broken up. It was just like I was talking to you. At that point, I about dropped everything in my hand. I thought, did I just hear that? And since then, Katie's got me hooked. I'm buying everything he makes now. I know, Robin, you used some of his stuff up at Ashmore, too, didn't you?
I've got some of it. I've got one of his the guy's helmet that he built, and I've got a couple larger, you know, a large radio unit that we're putting up there that he's actually supposed to come over here in May, and we're just going to spend a weekend here together hanging out and going over some stuff. But we'll see if that might get changed. Who knows? But yeah, we've got some stuff up there that we've used in the past, and they've had a lot of good experiences with it.
It's just different. I mean, that's one thing I look at. I see, if you look on, for instance, eBay, and you look at ghost hunting equipment, you know, you're going to see 75% of it's all the same old stuff. Okay, we configured the lights differently on this, or we're using a AA battery instead of a 9-volt. It's a lot of it's the same, and when somebody comes up to me, especially with a different idea and something that makes me think, that's when I'm more apt to buy it. I mean, the funniest thing is my favorite piece of equipment is still what's called a K3 that was made by Modtronics in late 90s, I believe, early 2000s. It's a tri-field meter with lights on it. It hasn't been made for years, and it's, you know, everybody has that piece of equipment that's their go-to. If I had to pick one piece of equipment that I said that is the piece of equipment that tells me that something's there, that's it. When I tell people I have a K3, they look at me like I'm nuts, but I wish I could find five more of them personally. Robin's probably got six of them at his house, but, you know.
six D of them.
I've seen his collection. But, you know, it's weird when somebody starts talking to you and starts saying things and you're going, wow, that makes sense. Because so many times as investigators, we buy things because they have pretty lights on them and we use them three times and go, well, okay, that sucks. Put it back in the box. I mean, I use basically a tri-field meter and spirit boxes, recorders, and flashlights. That's about it. I have all kinds of other things, but those are my go-to things.
I've seen some stuff on Facebook recently where people have been talking about the ITC stuff and that the ghost boxes are all joke and there's nothing, you know, there's nothing to them. You know, and I kind of have to disagree with that somewhat. It's like anything will work depending on how you're using it, as long as you don't read into it too far. And, you know, basically just like letting it talk, like Doogie did up at Ashmore when he asked everyone in the building and he came up with the right answer. And it's like, my name is not that, you know, that, you know, where you're going to run across radio circuits all the time. And then ask where I'm at, it answers the question. And so I think a lot of it, you have to listen to it. And, you know, when you get that answer 20 minutes later, and they go, oh my God, that's it. It's like, that's a little late, you know, so.
Right.
It's just any of the ITC stuff. It's just, you know, it works depending on who's using it and how they're using it.
Well, I've had great luck with it. I mean, I've heard some of the neatest things I've ever heard off of those boxes. And at the same token, I used to do public events where we'd have them out, and I had somebody, after sitting in a room for about 10 minutes, getting ready to say, okay, we need to move on because there's nothing going on. I had a woman start going, Dad! Dad, I hear you, Dad. And I'm thinking, you're not hearing Dad unless he's an AM DJ. But the other thing that really drives me nuts about those, when people say, oh, yeah, you're getting too much into them, first of all, stop asking yes and no questions. Any of those boxes, you're going to hear yes and no a million times, and it's, you know, somebody saying, you know, yesterday, and the other one that's talking about Nome, Alaska. Ask questions that, you know, where you have a little bit of substance, where it takes something a little odd to answer. And one of the first experiences I had at the Unitarian was with Dale Kaczmarek. We were downstairs. I always ask, who's the last president of the United States you remember? And I have had answers. More often than not, I get air. But, you know, I asked that, and it said Davis. And he and I kind of looked at each other, and it said Jeff Davis. And I said, oh, where are you from? He said, Louisville. And it's like, wow, did that really just come out of there? One of the things about the Unitarian Church, supposedly it was a stop on the Underground Railroad. Well, here I have somebody saying Jeff Davis is the president, and they're from Louisville, Kentucky, and all that kind of adds up. So kind of like you said with Doogie, it just, there are times that is one of the greatest things ever.
Well, we're almost out of time, guys. We got about 5.5 minutes. So you want to let everyone know like where they can find you on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, website, all that good stuff, and know where they can find you.
We got all kinds of stuff. We have Riverbend Paranormal on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We have official riverbendparanormal.com. That's our website. You can find all our info, contacts, pictures, bios, from all the good stuff. You can see two of our members on Ghost Hunters. I know, I got to give them a shout out because one's my sister-in-law, so I got
to
do that.
Yeah, you better be good for sale.
Yeah, you can find us on all social media and look at all our stuff and ask us any questions. I mean, we have 17 members, all knowledgeable. That's what we do. We help people and we investigate. I mean, we enjoy it. We're talking about it all the time. I mean, I think me and Dean talk multiple times a week about it just because. I mean,
definitely.
So, yeah, we're a group that's been around.
Now I know why I'm not on. I know why I'm on, not on Riverbed Paranormal anymore, because you want knowledgeable people. So I guess that's why I'm no longer a member.
Hey, you're always welcome back, Robin. You know that.
Well, Dane from D&M Paranormal sent me a message, and I said, hey, I'm going to be listening to you, so, you know, don't screw it up. And my response was, I promise nothing. So
we have low expectations, Dean, low expectations.
Yeah, thank you. But no, I mean, we're more than happy. If somebody just wants to contact us, that doesn't mean we have to come out to your house. If you just have a question, feel free to contact us. Especially right now when none of us are really doing anything besides, you know, chasing kids.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Fishing.
Oh, by the way, I'm fishing tomorrow, Tim, so you have to handle all the calls tomorrow.
I got it. I'll take it. I'm not doing it. I'm probably not working either, so I'm going to sit at home and take care of children and maybe watch some paranormal shows on TV and go through some more evidence.
Well, if nothing else good comes out of this whole thing, we're going to have – Riverbend's going to have one heck of a fish fry after this all ends.
Yeah.
Well – we're down to the last few minutes, so I'll go ahead and, like, you know, on behalf of Robin and myself, thanks, guys, for being on and talking with us and taking some time out. And, of course, it sounds like you're not too busy anyway, so.
No kidding.
We do appreciate you guys coming on and spending some time with us and getting to talk to you some, and we appreciate it. And, I'm going to start coughing like as I'm talking here, but yeah, you know, you guys, you heard them. Everybody's listening. You heard them. If you have any questions, hit them up. Now's a good time to hit them up. If you have any questions to ask them about. So, but again, thanks. We appreciate it. And, we'll, be back in 2 weeks, and, Rob and I'll be back with another guest and, be talking to everybody for another hour.
Well, we appreciate you having us, Mike.
Say goodnight. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Good deal. Yeah. We appreciate it too. Same here. It was a fun time. So, all right. Well, we'll get out of here and we'll talk to you guys soon. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. So we'll see you guys. Take care.
You too.
And we're out of here for the night. Bye, guys.
Later.
Bye, guys. Stay safe.
You too.
You too, Robin.